WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning, and we've got a lot going on today. We've got the story from Barry at WBSM.com and the WBSM app about the passing of Armin Marchand, and you can read Barry's tribute to him. It's very touching, and I'm sure many of you want to share your own thoughts. You can do that on the Facebook page. You can do that on the app chat, on the open line voicemails, or you can call in. Also, we have the story about the tax bills, the quarterly tax bills people got that were definitely the wrong amount. Hundreds of thousands of dollars due by August 1st. That's not accurate. So you can let us know if you received one of those. Also, we have the story up about the oil bandits in Buzzards Bay and Bourne. And if you know of anybody who might have had used cooking oil taken from their restaurant, then you want to let the Bourne police know, because they think that these two guys might have been responsible for similar robberies across Massachusetts. We have the news that the New Bedford fireworks are going to take place on July 3rd, and that's due to the availability of the fireworks company. I guess with the budgetary process of they originally wanted to have, you know, the city originally wanted to use free cash to pay for the fireworks. They went to the city council requesting a transfer of that free cash to be able to use some of that money for the fireworks. Councilor Morad told me that, you know, no, the taxpayers shouldn't be paying for the fireworks when they've always had sponsors. So then the city ended up getting a sponsor. And again, thanks to Claremont Companies for sponsoring the fireworks. But perhaps because of that delay, they might have missed out on the date, because now the fireworks are July 3rd. So Thursday, July 3rd in New Bedford, which is, you know, many of you probably have July 4th off. So I'm sure you don't mind being out at 9 o'clock for fireworks on a Thursday night. And then there'll be something going on downtown Friday with the Summer Sound Series. There'll be stuff going on Saturday with the Cape Verdean Recognition Parade. So you've got you're just adding an extra day to what is already a full weekend of fun and observations and celebrations. Here on this program in the month of July, we're going to be celebrating Cape Verdean Recognition Month and the 50th anniversary of Cape Verdean independence throughout the entire month of July. So the plan is, on Thursday mornings, we're going to have some special guests who are going to talk to us about different aspects of Cape Verdean culture and history and how it has all kind of become part of our South Coast history as well. So it's not just about Cabo Verde itself, but it's about the impact that it's had here on New Bedford and beyond. So those would be some very interesting conversations through the month of July. And if you would like to help sponsor that, reach out to me, Tim at WBSM.com. We'll put you in touch with the right people to talk to you about that. But We're going to put together a great package of things where we're going to be able to spotlight some Cape Verdean-owned businesses, and we're going to be able to really shine the spotlight on the culture. So reach out to me, Tim at WBSM.com, and we can start setting things up for that. And, of course, 50s night coming on July 17th, we're going to have 50s music from 3 p.m. to midnight. And I spoke to the traffic people here. Traffic are the people that handle all the commercials and programming all the commercials. And I spoke to the traffic people and I said, we're going to do things a little bit differently this year. I only want to have, I want to have as limited commercials as possible during this music. And I only want it to be the great businesses that are stepping up and sponsoring us and helping us make this happen on WBSM. And they said, you know what? We can do that. We can do that. So for that night only, the only commercials you're going to hear during those, was it 8 hours of music? Are the ones from the businesses who are sponsoring 50s Night here on the radio. Not the people that are sponsoring it downtown. That's different. I want people to understand, if you get involved with this, it's not the downtown thing. You'd have to work with the 50s Night committee for that. But the radio broadcast, the music here, the most listened to night of the entire year on the station. If you want to be part of that, reach out to me, tim@wbsm.com. We have a few spots still open to be able to have some businesses get involved with that. And it'll be pretty exclusive. It'll only be the 50s Night sponsors whose commercials you hear that night. So you'll know when you're listening that those are the people that made it all possible. And then you can go and frequent their business to thank them. Because as I've been mentioning, you can't hear 50s music on the radio anymore. Many folks who like that music and grew up with that music, they're not online. They're not on YouTube. They're not on Spotify. They're not on Amazon Music or Apple Music, so they don't have a chance to hear this unless they've got records or CDs or cassettes that they play it on. So this is our way of being able to help keep the 50s alive, which is what Joe Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to keep the 50s, or at least the spirit of the 50s, alive. And this is how we're able to do it. So if you want to be part of that, tim@wbsm.com, we'll get you on board. We still have some spots open, and we would love to have you. So, 508-996-0500. I think that there's been already this summer, and summer we're only less than a week in, but already this summer, there's been a wealth of news, a wealth of things that have happened in just the past week. I thought summer was supposed to be the time when things slowed down a little bit, news-wise, but we've got so much going on, and that's what's great about having this station, is it gives you a chance to talk and react to all of it. You heard a great amount of discussion on South Coast Now the last couple of days about what went on Cut Night with the city council. They essentially cut $10 million from the budget, but if you want to read something about the real intricacies of it, then I would suggest reading Colin Hogan's piece at newbedfordlight.org. Really in-depth about the hours that were spent and setting the scene. Like, that's what impressed me the most about it. I mean, Colin's a great writer anyway. But it's a real scene setter to get you kind of inside what it was like in the council chambers on Cut Night. And I don't want to say commentary because color. We'll call it color. He added some color to the piece about the cuts that are made and about the process of it. You know, why are you cutting $50 from a department? Like, what is that? And about the negotiation process of these cuts and the back and forth and the votes. So it's a very fascinating piece. And when you look at it piece by piece, you think to yourself, well, what are the counselors doing here? This sounds like cuts just for the sake of making cuts. But then when you look at the overall end of the night and you say, okay, well, they cut $10 million from the budget. You say, oh, okay, well, I get it now. You know, it might have seemed like nickel and diming as they went through the process, but in the end, look at the grand total. But then you take that $10 million and you compare it to the $500 million budget overall, and you say, oh, it's 2% of the budget? Okay. And then you say, well, is it cuts for cut's sake? You know, is the $500,000 that is supposed to go to the Zyterian to help the Zyterian, you know, be viable, they wiped that out completely. They basically said, we're not giving any money to the Zyterian. And Rosemary Gill told Colin Hogan that, you know, that could be devastating, not just for the renovations, but for the operations. Now, you know how this goes. It's a game. The counselors make the cuts. The administration comes back and tells them to they need to reinstate this money. And then they end up doing it. Is there a better way to do this process? I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I saw the look on the face of Council President Burgo when I said, instead of staying there for, you know, 10 hours, why don't you split it up over two nights? And I saw the look on his face almost to be like, yeah, why haven't we done that? Like, we talked about this yesterday. Just because things have always been done a certain way doesn't mean you have to keep doing it that way. Anyway, maybe there's more to it that I don't know about because I'm not that well versed in all of that. So 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail from the WBSM app. Like I said, it's been a week. We got a new police chief already. Well, I shouldn't say already. I mean, there's a couple of months involved in it, but we have a new police chief now. We're going to have a new fire chief eventually, since Scott Krueger is retiring. So two new people at the helm of public safety in New Bedford. And then yesterday, you know, as we're discussing the new police chief here on the radio, I'm also getting information about a shots fired incident that had happened overnight, and I'm reaching out to the police department to get information. And took a little while. They're probably busy over there with all the news. And I know, you know, they've been going out and doing the ice cream thing for the kids. And they'll be out doing that again today. You can read about that at WBSM.com and on the app. So when I did get a response, surprised to find that not only were two people struck by gunfire, but one of them was also stabbed. So it happened in the area of Myrtle Street. And then the second person was found at the bus station suffering from gunshot wounds, non-life-threatening. What happened? What was that all about? And someone made the comment on social media that they saw two people outside the library talking about it. Is this that element that the business owners were complaining about? That the police were stepping up patrols to try and stop? It's a pretty crazy story, and that's the downside to the information that we get from the police. And I'm not faulting the people who actually provide the information. But is the things going to be any different with this chief, this new chief? Are we going to have any more information? Are we going to get any more information? So I've reached out to some people that I know that are from journalists that are from Connecticut to see, you know, who might know another journalist that has covered Jason Thody and can give me an idea of what he's like with the media. Because I want to know what he's going to be like and how much of that is going to be what the mayor wants him to be like with the media. Because how do you say, yeah, two people were shot and one person was stabbed, and then you don't give any... One of those people were also stabbed, and there's no more information than that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Gilly Saffield.
What's on your mind?
My mind. Remember I told you that I asked Chris to ask the mayor about paying the school committee?
Mm-hmm. I left a note on the log here for him.
He did it. But I just want to say something about his remarks, the mayor's remarks. You know what my favorite saying is? Sometimes people talk out of their keisters because the mouth knows better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mayor Mitchell is losing it. He made a comment about people around here don't get paid, school committee, other school committee. He never, you know, Fall River gets paid. Taunton gets paid. Because a lot of other people even get stipends. And he made that comment that they, and then Chris asked him, has he heard anything about from the school committee members? And he said, no. Tim, I've been in front of the school committee. You know, when they give the input, the citizens that give the input?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in front of that school committee 3 times about the school committee getting paid. He said that the school committee hasn't shown any interest. They haven't said anything to him. Maybe, but inside that school committee meeting, when I speak for 3 times, you have Mr. Grace that's not running again. He knows about it. I've talked to him. I've talked to Mrs. Bumbowicki. I've talked to Mrs. Costa and even Livermento. They all want to get paid. I don't know where he says there's no interest.
Maybe they haven't expressed it to him.
They're expressing it to me. So I don't know. So in my book, he's talking out of his key stuff. Okay? Ask Mr. Grace. Ask anybody on the committee that I've gone in front. But the other thing that really got me is when he had the mayor and they were talking about the new chief of police. His statement was, right, the mayor said that the people in New Bedford deserve the best. That was a statement on yesterday, and it's on tape, that the people in New Bedford deserve the best. But I have a question to the mayor. Then why did he give us Joe Cordero and Paul Oliveira? He should have said, I give you somebody that I can, that's the main word, control. That's what he should have said. That I give you somebody that he can control, like he did with Joe and Paul. So the statements that he made are all off record. You know what I mean? Not off record, but he's making accusations now. The people in New Bedford deserve the best. Have you seen this guy's resume?
The new police chief?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's really shaky in my book. I could be wrong, but it is shaky. Okay?
Well, and I mean, what do you think is shaky about it?
Well...
Are you talking about his qualifications? Are you talking about some of the incidents that he was involved in?
Well, what I read. I don't know the person. I haven't talked to the gentleman, but all the stuff that's on there. You know, like, they bring up my record all the time. And people make decisions like that.
So you're talking about like things like the vote of no confidence, the incident where he, you know, scraped up the car, things like that. I was going to say, because from a qualification standpoint, I went through his whole resume on his website, and it seems like, you know, he checks all the boxes in terms of having the leadership experience and being involved in different aspects of policing.
Well, you know, like a lot of people talk. Okay, a lot of people talk. You know. When you realize that the committee that the mayor put together weren't allowed to ask questions. The only thing they had to ask is the stuff that they told them to ask. Don't you think that's kind of funny?
I mean, I think it kind of defeats the purpose of having a screening committee.
Right. There was a lot of people there because they said that you can't ask some personal questions or whatever because it's, what do you call it when you, I am getting old. When they put in a committee, they should be able to ask questions that they want to ask. Not to be told. They can only ask questions that they want them to ask. They can't ask their own questions. They couldn't ask their own questions. Okay, and you have two of our own city councilors on that committee. Ask them. You know what I mean? And there's other people on that. It's just, when he was on there, when he said that people, the thing is with Mayor Mitchell, he made a statement on record that people in New Bedford deserve the best. Then explain to me, Mr. Mayor, and I was a big supporter of you, but you're losing a lot of people out there. Why did you give us Joe? And I said, Joe called me up and asked me if he was, I put the thing out there a long time ago. Does he hold grudges? And he even told him that you have to take Oliveira with you if you want the job. I'm saying that on the radio to people. That's what Joe Cordero told me. And then if the people deserve the best, then why did he put two people that live out of the city? And now you see, oh, they got to come and move into the city.
No, I get your point. I just got to hold you there, Gilly, because I'm up against the break and the news.
But the bottom line is he wanted somebody where he can control. That's the thing. That people don't want to ask those questions. And like you said, look what happened in this city the first day he's there. And they're saying this is a safe city.
Well, I can't blame him for that. He doesn't start till next month, so.
No, I understand that. I understand. But the mayor, you know, when about the school committee, they didn't know about it. I've been in front of them for 3 times. Okay? And even the superintendent of schools.
All right. I definitely got to hold you there, though, because I'm late for this break.
But the mayor was talking out of his keister.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. All right. Let me take this break. We'll get the news. And then on the other side of that, it's time for the Gen X Files. And it is Thursday, which means we'll have our brain freeze question of the week. Your chance to win a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments with the news and then the Gen X Files after that. But first, a quick break.
New York City residents rallying against a new casino. A deadly fungus may be useful to fight cancer, and a march for Jewish rights today in D.C.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
New York City officials are condemning hate after a Muslim woman was attacked on the subway last week.
Mayor Adams says the suspect asked the 55-year-old woman if she was Muslim and started brutally beating her when she said yes. The mayor is calling for a no plea bargaining rule for those who carry out assaults like this one.
We cannot allow it to be simply dropped down to harassment or some other minor infraction. Nothing cuts at the heart of what is opposed in this city than attacking an individual based on their faith.
The victim suffered a broken nose and a concussion with an online fundraiser already raising money to help her cover medical bills, rent, and basic groceries. I'm Natalie Migliori.
Also in New York City, residents rallied last night against a proposed casino in Times Square. It comes as SL Green filed its application to officially want to put a casino there this week. Opponents, part of the No Times Square Casino Coalition, argue Broadway is breaking records and crime is plummeted, adding developers' plans to put a casino in the heart of Midtown is falling flat with the people who work to turn it around. According to a poll from Tulchin Research, 71% of Midtown residents are against that particular location for a casino. Researchers are working to turn a deadly fungus into a potent cancer-fighting compound. According to a study published in Nature, researchers at the University of Pennsylvania recently used Aspergillus flavus after isolating a new class of molecules from it in a test against leukemia cells, and it resulted in those cells being killed. Aspergillus flavus is a toxic crop fungus that has been linked to deaths in the excavation of ancient tombs. Researchers say the next step is to test those compounds in animals with the hope of one day moving to human clinical trials. A march on Washington for Jewish civil rights will take place on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. today. Americans for Jewish Civil Rights say it's in memory of two Israeli embassy staffers murdered last month. Elias Rodriguez faces 2 counts of first-degree murder, along with murder of foreign officials and 2 firearm-related charges. He's reported to have shouted Free Palestine while he was being arrested. The site of the worst commercial nuclear accident in U.S. history will be roaring back to life soon.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro toured the last working reactor at Three Mile Island near Harrisburg on Wednesday.
Folks shouldn't sleep on nuclear. They should be aware of the important clean role it plays in our energy portfolio.
The reactor at Three Mile Island near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, will soon start generating power for Microsoft under a 20-year agreement. In 1979, a partial meltdown of the Unit 2 reactor core caused national panic. I'm Brian Shook.
The 40th edition of the iconic Air Jordan shoe will release next month.
You sure it's not the shoes?
I'm sure, Mars.
What about the shoes?
No, Mars.
Money's gotta be the shoes.
Jordan Brand unveiled the next edition of Michael Jordan's signature line on Wednesday. The shoe's design takes inspiration from some of the line's most popular models, including the Air Jordan 3 and Air Jordan 5. The first colorway of the Air Jordan 40 will go on sale July 12th for $200. A total of 9 unique colorways will be released over the coming year. I'm Matt Mattinson.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox were swept in L.A., losing to the Angels last night 5-2. Sox are off tonight. Blue Jays head to Fenway tomorrow at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Are you sick of the heat? Well, I've got good news for you. We finally have cooled down here in southern New England. What a nice difference as we wake up to temperatures in the 60s instead of the upper 70s like we did yesterday morning. Now, temperatures don't really go up too much from here. Our highs today along the coastline will be in the upper 60s and inland looking at the low 70s. We go back below average today, but we also pay the price for the cooler weather in the form of clouds and showers around here and there. It's not a total washout, but it's not going to be a dry day either. So have the umbrella on tap if you really hate the rain. I'm ABC6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, welcome back in. We're going to be giving you some pop culture history and a chance to win some ice cream coming up right now.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. And apparently June 26th is the nexus of NBC comedy birthdays. Sean Hayes of Will and Grace is 55 today, as is the man who married his co-star, Megan Mullally, Nick Offerman. And Offerman's Parks and Recreation's co-star, Aubrey Plaza, also has a birthday today. She turns 41. 90s heartthrob Chris O'Donnell and director Paul Thomas Anderson both turn 55. Singer and actor Chris Isaak is 69. Actor Jason Schwartzman is 45. And Yankee great Derek Jeter turns 51 years old today. That is a recording of Elvis Presley's last ever song played in concert. It was June 26, 1977, when Elvis made his last ever live stage appearance when he appeared at the Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. Presley would die less than 2 months later. The last two songs he performed were Hurt and Bridge Over Troubled Water, and then he wrapped up with that little bit of an ending. Before the show, Elvis was presented with a plaque commemorating the 2 billionth record to come out of RCA's pressing plant. In 1979, the Village People became the first disco act to play Madison Square Garden. This day in 1987 was a big day for movies as Spaceballs, Full Metal Jacket, and Dragnet were released in theaters. Mel Brooks recently announced that a sequel to Spaceballs will be released in theaters in 2027. However, it likely won't be called Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2, which, if you saw the movie, you get the joke. And also, they announced yesterday that there's a new series coming to Hulu called Young Frankenstein. that Mel Brooks will be behind as well. June 26, 1990, Nelson released their debut album, After the Rain, which sold over 2 million copies thanks to the number one single, Can't Live Without Your Love and Affection. Nelson is the duo of Gunnar and Matthew, the twin sons of Rick Nelson. In 1997, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Communications Decency Act violated the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. The CDA initially sought to prohibit the transmission of, quote, obscene or indecent material to minors and to hold online providers liable for such content. However, the Supreme Court, in the case of Reno versus ACLU, struck down the provisions, finding them overly broad and a violation of free speech rights. And in 2000, the completion of a working draft reference DNA sequence of the human genome was announced at the White House by President Bill Clinton and representatives from the Human Genome Project. That is the Gen X Files for June 26, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler. And you can win one for free right now if you know the answer to our Brain Freeze Question of the Week. On this date in 1999, June 26, 1999, Pearl Jam had their highest topping single when this song made it to number two on the Billboard charts. What was that song that hit number two, Pearl Jam's highest charting song, June 26, 1999? Call in 508-996-0500, 508-996-0500 if you know the answer. And the right answer, first person with the right answer wins a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. All right, I'm going to take a break here. Hopefully we get the answer during that break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Hold on. Let me stop that X-Files music. Okay, now we'll take a break. Welcome back, and congratulations to Chris. He had the right answer to our question. On June 26, 1999, Pearl Jam had its highest topping single when this song made it to number two on the Billboard charts. It was Last Kiss. So Pearl Jam actually didn't even intend on releasing that as a single. It was a song that was released to their fan club. They had songs, you know, they would release these CD singles to their fan club members, and that was one that the fan club got, and it ended up becoming their highest charting hit of all time. So Last Kiss, number two on the Billboard charts on this date in June 26, 1999, held off by the top spot from Jennifer Lopez and her first single, If You Had My Love. So I'm trying to find a little bit of everything when it comes to these trivia questions. Some movies, some music, some TV, and all kinds of stuff. So congratulations, Chris. You got that free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. Don't Just because you didn't win, don't think you can't just go get one for yourself, folks. They are amazing. All right, 508-996-0500. We were talking about a number of different things already this morning, but I want to bring in one more thing because, you know, as part of my job here, I got to come up with, you know, different things to help build engagement on social media on both WBSM and Fun 107. And I was just sitting around yesterday working on something else, and a thought popped into my head, and I said, What really makes for a good lobster roll? Some people like them, you know, hot with butter. Some people like them cold with mayo. But, like, you don't really see a lot of people add other things. I mean, I remember I went to Lobster Pot in Rhode Island. I had an amazing lobster BLT. And I've had, you know, I'm sorry, lobster grilled cheese, but I've had a lobster BLT in other places and, you know, like little twists on the lobster roll. But what about the lobster roll itself? So I just for fun, I put up on the Fun 107 page, ruin a lobster roll with one ingredient. And we're up to almost 500 comments on that from people like taking the question seriously and putting something that you would never want to see in a lobster roll. Things like pickles. or Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip ruins everything. Ketchup. But it's amazing how many people put mayo as the answer. If you had asked me, Tim, what do you think is the predominant way that people want a lobster roll on the south coast of Massachusetts, where lobster rolls are plentiful and where so many restaurants have them on the menu, how would you think most people would want them? I would think predominantly mayo would be the answer. I would think cold with mayo would be the number one way to eat it, only because so many places only make it that way. But apparently the hot lobster roll with butter is the way to go. I guess. I mean, I'm happy to have it either way. To me, the best tasting lobster roll is one I didn't have to pay for. And it, you know, if you're not familiar with how lobsters became so expensive, they didn't used to be a delicacy. I'm sure you've heard before. It's what they fed prisoners and what poor people ate. They called them the cockroach of the sea, and people wouldn't want to eat them because they were bottom dwellers. And so they're like, they just eat everything that all the other fish dump on the bottom of the ocean, if you get what I'm saying. Poopy means poop. So, like, people didn't want to eat a lobster. And in fact, they had revolts over prisoners eating, being forced to eat lobster. But what happened is a couple of things. One, they started utilizing it for people on trains because it was they could cook it pretty easily on a train, and you just had to bring a lobster on board and keep it alive, and then you could cook it up at any point during that long train journey cross country. So the people in the high-end dining cars thought that they were being fed a high-end food because they'd never seen it before. They'd never had it. They're coming from places in the country where there's no ocean. And then the other part of it is the invention of canned goods allow them to start canning lobster meat and shipping it around the country, and that made it even more popular. So we got some calls coming in. I don't have a whole bunch of time here because I got another break I got to run. Let me run that break, and then we'll try and get the calls in before the end of the hour, but we'll be back in a few moments. All right, let's go to the phones, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Well, I'm Tim. Oh, you had to mention lobster. I've been dying for lobster. I had the lobster BLT at Blue Point. Oh, my God, was it delicious. It was loaded with lobster. It was really, really good. But I took the tomato off. I don't like to. I asked for no tomato. I had the lettuce on it, but it was in the bacon. It was really, really good. And when my father was a kid, Revere Beach.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Winthrop. But so it was Winthrop Beach and Revere Beach that was, connected. Anyway, when they had hurricane season and they had a hurricane, he'd go down there with big black garbage bags and load them up with lobsters. They would all run ashore. He said, oh, so good. But,
Now I want lobster, too.
And I've been dying for lobster. But they were on sale, I think, at Market Basket for $6.99 last week. That's a pound, that chicken lobsters. I think they were all sizes, but I think most of them were there with chicken lobsters. But
why are they chicken? What are they going to be afraid of? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't know. What month is it? My father always said when the months end in R, it was a good month to get,
Well, any month's a good one for me. Shell. Yeah, I'll take them any month.
Oh, so, so good.
All right.
I guess they're going down a little bit more in price now, so.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Thank you for the call. I want to squeeze one more in.
See you later. Okay, bye.
All right, and let's take one more here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. I love lobster, too, but I wanted to tell you that I got this paper from the Massachusetts Lobstermen's Association, and I thought what you thought, they were scavengers.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here, lobsters usually move around and hunt for food at night. It was once thought that lobsters were scavengers and are primarily dead things. However, researchers have discovered that lobsters eat mainly fresh food, which includes fish, crabs, clams, mussels, sea urchins, and sometimes even other lobsters. And every 50,000 eggs, only two lobsters are expected to survive to legal size. Imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, we got a story, too, about a golden lobster that showed up at the Nordic Lodge on our website. So those are even rarer. Imagine getting one of those. I mean, they don't taste any different, but they look cool.
I know. And I went to the aquarium on the train when it first opened, and there's blue ones in there. They got different color ones in there, but I didn't see a gold one.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't care what color they are, as long as when they show up on my plate, they're warm with butter.
Oh, I know it. I thought that you couldn't eat a lot when you're on that Marengo. What is it, Manjaro?
Manjaro, yeah. Well, I mean, I shouldn't eat a lot of seafood anyway, but because shellfish, rather, because I'm prone to gout, but I've got that under control. But I still like to have some lobster once in a while. I eat a lot of steamers, too, because they're high in protein and low in carbs.
Oh, and good in zinc. Now, Mary, I wonder how Mary's doing. The heat must have been getting to her yesterday, huh?
Yeah, she said she was going to try and limit her walking and just do it indoors. So hopefully she's still got that in. I'm sure we'll hear from her today.
All right.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Bye, Tim.
Bye. And don't forget, too, my little tip. If you like lobster but you don't want to pay those lobster prices, go to Market Basket. You can probably get it at the seafood markets, too. But Market Basket always has it out, and it's cheap. Monkfish. Get that monkfish. It's poor man's lobster. You can, and trust me, I'm the poor man, so I know. You can take that and cook it up, put some butter on it, and you wouldn't know the difference if you closed your eyes. And the best part about it, you don't have to crack anything open to get to it, except maybe the, you know, the package, but that's easy. So yeah, get some monkfish, give it a try. All right.